good. Thank you for that, Richard. All right, very good, everybody. This is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association TechNet. Any radio amateur who's licensed to transmit in the 2-meter band is more than welcome to join us. You need not be a Barra member, although we look forward to your increased participation and perhaps membership, should you so desire. The purpose of the TechNet is to discuss things technical. Ham radio has a lot of related skills not just electronics and radio art, but things dealing with any number of subjects, dozens upon dozens. So pretty much anything is fair game, as long as it has a basis in technology or in practice of that technology. How we operate, how we do things is certainly fair game for conversation. So we would hope that you would join the net as a check-in or as a check-in with a question or a comment anytime. We do this, we encourage people to check in because they become resources. And also, just to get a sense for who's here, how we can play to your needs. We have a number of interesting things that will be brought up tonight, oddly enough. Jim, KTZO, you have something, and I think, if I remember right, I thought I heard... maybe we get some satellite input from Mr. Steve. That's always helpful if Steve's around. And I'm kind of curious how your amplifier is progressing. And maybe Jim, K2ZO, and NS2K, you can give us some perspectives from Kit Night, from each of your perspectives, if that's possible at some point. Just a couple of reminders. Barra operates 4 nets a week. All are at 9 o'clock, 28350 with K2ZO on upper sideband on Monday nights. Tuesday night we have tickets on 444 or 443-100. That's the UHF net, also at 9 o'clock on the Hackensack machine, whichever one that is, I can't remember. And then the chat net here on 7-9 at 9 p.m. on Wednesdays, and of course the tech net on Thursdays. These nets, with the exception of the 10-meter net, are run on the Bergen County FM Association repeaters. That is not the club that operates these nets. They are generous enough to let us use their repeaters. And we encourage membership in the Repeater Association if you don't mind. But again, that's not required. We have a lively net. We're coming up on our first year of net operation. I think it will be the last week of this month is our first net, or maybe it's next week, I can't remember. Yeah, the second or the last, I can't remember which, so I'll have to do a little research on that. And we look forward to many more years in the future. On that note, are there any other check-ins for the net? Please call K2BAR.
K2DSL, David.
Okay, I got two stations. K2DSL, David. Do you have a question or comment for that, David?
Nope, nothing yet.
Okay, and who was the other station?
KC2TVE, Tony.
All right, Tony. KC2TVE. Good to hear you, and I owe you an email. And we'll make that announcement in a moment as well. Good evening. Do you have a question or comment for the net?
No, this evening I was just listening in. I've talked my brains off on Tuesdays and Wednesdays net, and I figured I'd listen in tonight.
All right, well, we'll try to make it as informative as possible. Anybody else for the net? By the way, thank you for joining us tonight. Anybody else, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment, or none of the above.
N2ZZK, Bob with a question.
Okay, we have two stations, KC2ZQP. I think that's Stuart. Stuart, you're operating on the output direct. You need to do two things. You need to shift to a minus 600 split. You also need to put a tone on of 141.3. I also heard M2ZZK. Bob, I'll get to you in a moment. Just hang on one second. I think you had a question. I just want to get Stuart squared away so he can get into the net. Stuart, I butchered your call. I already know that. SQP, not ZZQP. SQP. Stuart, did you make those changes or can you make those changes to get into the repeater? All right, we'll come back to Stuart in a minute. N2ZZK, good to hear you, Bob. So do you have a question as well?
I do, Gordon. I have a question.
All right, we'll get you in a minute. Here will be our first question. I just want to make one more announcement and maybe get Stuart squared away. All righty. Another announcement is there will be an ARIESnet on Monday night on this repeater at 7:30. 7:30. Stations should have a pencil and paper if possible to take down a message. They need not go anywhere this Monday. But foul weather was anticipated for this coming weekend, as it was a year ago. And so do keep your radios ready to go, your 72-hour go kits ready to go, or at least your 24-hour go kits ready to go. And, it's the rainy season. We're prone to getting flooding around here, despite the fact that most people are never touched. We might need radio operators in the next week or so. In any case, there will also be a Skywarn training session later in April, and I'll try to make sure I dig that up before the net's out. But we hope you can go for that as well, even if you're not an active Skywarn participant. It would be useful to get that knowledge, and I think you'll find it satisfying. Probably a good personal safety item, especially if you're traveling or even at home. So, on that note, and it did Stuart get squared away? Did you do the minus 600 and the 141.3 PL tone, Stuart? Okay, Stuart, you want to make a transmission on the output directly? Yeah, you have a tone 141.3, but you need to now make your transmit offset minus 600, Stuart. All right, we'll drop some pauses in every so often. Anyway, I bring up the ARIESnet not only because of the season, but because I'm trying to encourage participation in that net as well. It's open to all radio amateurs who are licensed to transmit the 2-meter band and start that on this repeater. The pencil and paper will be the note of the day for that net. In any case, our first question of the night is Bob N2ZZK, who I haven't worked in a long time, so good to hear you, Bob. W2T Department. This is W2TDC, but I'm K2BAR tonight.
K2GCL repeater.
ZZK, back to you, Gordon. I had a question on a ICOM 751. I have one for sale, and I was curious to know roughly what would a radio like that cost. It does work.
Wow, that's a really interesting question. I don't know off the top of my head, but I think I would go look in two places just to benchmark some things. I would go up on eBay and probably also eHam, just for grins, and see what happens with that. So let's try that. But I would look at eBay and eHam just to get a general sense for how things are. Are you familiar with those websites?
No, I don't deal with eBay at all. And is that on your computer also?
Yeah, eHam, www.eham.net. They have a swap and shop. Also, QRZ.com has a swap and shop as well, which is pretty useful. So you might want to look there. I'm going to go and scrounge around on eHam to their, classifieds. There we go. And we'll see what that brings. This was a 751A or a 751?
It was explained to me that it was, you just said a 751, and it was a in pretty good shape and that it works.
Okay, but it's ICOM, right?
Yes.
Comment.
Okay, the latest listing I see on EHAM, let's see, it was 575, another one was 500, with Bryce 751A, by the way. Let's see, another 751 plane one is 600, but shipped, let's see, 751 for parts is $80. That's for the main unit, never mind. Let's see, another one for $500, a lot of filters, that's at least two. Is that the power supply?
Gordon, I really don't know anything about the radio. A fellow worker just told me that his father is selling one of these radios and that it works. I don't know if it has an internal power supply or not. But I didn't ask him about the price, and he didn't know about the price, so I was just curious, roughly how old is the radio, roughly, what do they sell for?
Yeah, so about $500 shipped is probably your best bet. You want to sell a little quicker, that's fine. You probably should find out what is in it as far as filters, you know, what model filters they are, or what functional elements there are, what if it's a power supply, its serial number. How old are they? I'm going to say mid-80s, I would think. I'm trying to think. What's the RigPix is another one that's a really great website. You can probably get some idea on that too. RigPix, let's see, 9X. RigPix database, ICOM, there we go. Love this website. There's some really good websites out there, as you can tell. HF Radio 751. Doesn't say when they came out. Let's see. New price in 84 in Sweden. So, okay. It was manufactured in, from 83 into, starting in 83.
Covers around $500 for the price of one radio without the filters.
No, some of these radios had filters and power supplies and all sorts of things. Let me see. The complete stations were $600. Some of them were as cheap as $500. There's one with a 751A with an optional, you know, control interface converter. And the transmit mod done for 60 meters in Mars, that was only $500. So if you want to just get rid of it and it's in good shape, whether or not it has a full station or not, $500 is probably the going price, and $600. Actually, here's one, a 751 with a power supply, sold as a package, and the item did sell, by the way, locally here, actually, for $335. So I'm figuring for this, the whole ball of wax, I'm looking at the sold ones. All the sold ones top out about, you know, unless they have extraordinary amounts of stuff in it, or some rare component, like the remote frequency control, which is interesting to itself. They're all selling for about $500, maybe a hair more. $600 ones are not selling, I'm seeing that.
Amen.
It did say that they have an external power supply, though. It needs that radio.
It does. Did someone want to make a comment?
KO2, okay. I have one of those radios, Gordon. I had actually picked up at an auction, a power auction. The 751s are the earlier version, and they go for somewhat less. So, you know, I think you're pointing a little high if it's the radio alone, if you're thinking around $500 for that. But that's just a comment. 751 is older than the 751A.
I would tend to agree with that. That seems to be the pattern, unless it's got lots of stuff in it, you know. As I said, there's one here for $335 with the radio and the power supply, and that was the least expensive of the first 15 entries or so. And it was in good shape, allegedly, and it sold. And then the others, you know, the higher the price, the less likely it sold, unless it's got some really weird component in it, and that's off of DM. So, you know, depends on, you know, if it was just the radio, you know, and you want it to go away, $350 is probably a fair price. If it's got stuff, you might be able to ask more, but I think topping out at $500 is economically wise. It'll cause the radio to be sold.
One more comment.
Sure.
Right. Gordon, the older ICOM radios, such as the 751, even 751A, developed some parts problems over time, the tremor capacitors. So unless he knows that it's been in for service within the last 5 years or 10 years, you may want to sell it as is, because those tremor caps go bad. I know the one here that I have actually went back to ICOM a couple of years ago, and the guy spent $200 to get it kind of updated. But the older ICOM radios have tremor cap problems, well known. Just a caution. KO2, okay.
Yeah, I thought you were going to mention the battery issue. Isn't there a battery issue too sometimes?
I don't know the series that particularly affected. It was, I think, an older series than this. But they all use the watch batteries that eventually go bad. But I think on one of the series, if the battery goes bad, the radio actually loses its programming, which tells it what to do. Not only the regular memory for channels, but you actually have to send the radio back, I think, to ICOM at that point, if they still support it, to reprogram it and put a new battery in it.
Oh boy, that sounds like fun. All right. Anybody else with comments for Bob? Okay, N2ZZK, K2BAR.
Bennett, I thank you very much for your input, very helpful. And Gordon, thank you for your help, and take that all into consideration when I do the sell it tomorrow. Now I have some ideas of what to ask him, and some technical questions. I appreciate that. This is N2ZZK. I will be listening. Thank you very much.
K2KCL, repeater.
No problem. That's why we're here. That's why we do this. Alrighty. Let's see. My next question, comment, confusion. I have all of those, I suppose. Are there any other check-ins for the net? Oh, please call K2BAR. Okie doke. I was wondering, before we start picking on people about what else they're doing in life, I was going to ask Steve about some satellite stuff and some other folks about various things I mentioned before. Before I do that, before I pick on those folks in pretty much that order I mentioned before, I was wondering if anyone could synopsize the presentation at the Barra meeting, because some of us were unable to get there due to some family commitments that could not be negotiated away. So I'm wondering if someone could synopsize the technical part of the presentation on Sunday night. This is K2BAR.
W2JEK.
Mr. Don, go for it.
Hey, W2MLS.com. That's the website of the one fellow that gave the talk. And he's got all the hex beam information. And he showed us a 6-meter hex beam and how it was constructed. And he also showed the pictures of a multi-band, I think it was 6 meters through 20 meters, using fishing poles, these 20-foot fishing poles or whatever they are, and a mount and everything, and he had some handouts. I don't know whether anybody has any of them left or not, but the W2MLS.com website should help you on that. Basically, they have a good, it's basically a two-element beam, and it's sort of horizontally polarized, of course. And I guess if you bought everything new, it cost about $200. Back to net, W2JK.
Well, it's got four things you can do from his website. He's got some sort of forum thing. Let's see if there's anything, a hex beam there. No. Then I go back to links, and it doesn't seem to have much there, too. It's got a force internet. Something wrong with his links page. So that's not good. And then the chat. Let's see. Start chatting with him. I'll enter something to do that. And then back to the homepage. So I don't see anything on this homepage that is adjusted. It's really workable. But a really nice picture on this homepage, by the way. A couple of nice monitors. 3 bird watt meters. 2 different kilowatt amplifiers, an SB220, and like, the other one, I want to say it's a Meritron, but I'm not sure. It's got an HF rig, a Yaesu rotator. It's like an 800 rotator controller. It's just a 3 watt meters, 2 monitors, some partridges, and some pear trees. It's very nice. Real pretty. Nice collection of model cars up top, too. Anyway, looks like a nice cozy shack. In any case. Anybody, you know more, Don?
Hey, it's David. I could have answered if you stopped talking about 2 minutes ago. If you go to his forums and you click on antenna modifications, the only post that's in there is a hex beam overview with the parts, and it's got a link of a ton of pictures in it.
Yeah, okay. So I gave the guy a guided tour, too. Thank you, David. I see it. During conference calls, we use text messaging to shut each other up. It's very funny. Alrighty. Well, so there, we have some added information. Anybody want to comment about the hex beam as to how effective it is? You know, why would I want to put a hex beam up as opposed to a quad or a Yagi? Someone want to take a whack at that?
WI2W.
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I found the presentation very interesting, so much so that I think I'm going to build one of these things. It's basically a two-element beam in a very compact package because it's kind of folded up. And the one that he described has a turning radius of about 10 feet or so. It's about 19 feet, I guess. Very compact. There is another link that I got from Mike's webpage for, it says hex beam by K4KIO, and it's a modification on the original hex beam design with even better performance. And what you can expect is about 5 dB of gain, which is roughly an S unit, and about 20 dB front to back. It's very lightweight, very inexpensive to build, under $200. And I asked the question, a couple of questions. How critical was it to put together, and did it require tuning? And they said, no, if you're careful, it plays right first time out of the garage. And the second question was, how does it hold up under icy conditions? And they said the SWR goes a little wacky, but once the ice melts, everything snaps back into place. So it looks very compact, very low cost, with very decent performance. So that sounds like a winner in my book. By the way, there is a commercial version of it which retails for over $1,000. So you can put this together, and then maybe we'll have to do it at Kid Night. Back to Ned, K2BAR WI2W.
Can we do it during the summer Kid Night, which I can host, with a big empty parking lot and a big, huge room to work it in, if you want to work indoors?
Hey, that might work.
I can offer that. As soon as the school throws you out, I can offer St. John's Church basement. I've been doing that for years, but in July or June, even, if you want, we can do that. Okay, that sounds very good. I'm trying to look at the pictures on the site. It apparently requires I log in or something, so I'll have to do that. I also have to find I see. Wow. I looked at this K4KIO hex beam site. Isn't that an interesting adventure? That's one big honking antenna.
That's an amazing website. He's got step-by-step directions with pictures and parts lists and component suppliers. It's amazing what this guy did.
Yeah, I'm seeing that. Yeah, hex beam by K4KIO. If you just do K4KIO as a Google search, you'll see like the second or third link to him. And building the G3 TXQ broadband hex beam. Very cool. Very cool. I think somebody mentioned the 6 meter only one, so that's very cool. Glad everybody found this thing. It's interesting. So hopefully some people have been following along on the internet. We're able to enjoy this little adventure. Anybody have any further comments on the hex beam?
Question, Dennis Duque.
Go ahead, Jim.
Where do I find the discussion on this website?
Okay, if you go to K4KIO as a Google search, you'll see the third link down. It'll say hex beam by K4KIO resource detail.
Actually, I was thinking in terms of MLS's website.
Oh, that was under the forums, and then you look for antenna, whatever it is, it says there, hold on. Antenna, I can't remember. It said something about antennas, you'll see it.
Okay, I'll take a peek.
Antenna modifications is the only thing under there, as David said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, his, though, it seems to see much. You have to have an ID or something and log in. I don't know how to do that. Right now, in the middle of the net, I'm not going to worry about how to log into his page, so I've bookmarked it, and I'll come back to it later. But the K4KIO, as Steve points out, has much more step-by-step, instructions, and also has a printable, when it comes to printable pages, for this stuff too, which I think is very nice when people do things like that. Take into account those who might actually want to have a piece of paper in front of them and stare at it without the computer in front of them. Alrighty. Anybody else with more comments, questions, confusions about the hex beam, please call K2BAR.
K2KCL repeater.
Alrighty. Well, thank you for that, Don and David and Steve and Jim, for your input. At this point, I would like to see if there are any further check-ins to the net with questions or comments. And then I would like to go to Steve if he had satellite news or anything like that we can hear about. After that, we'll go to Jim K2ZO about his little audio playing before with some of the audio gizmachi. I want to hear more about that. So, WITW, this is K2BAR.
This is WITW. Well, I guess the most exciting satellite event coming up is on Saturday morning at the Hawthorne High School, starting around 8 o'clock, and there will be a public service event put on by Fred, or actually, from a ham radio standpoint, Fred KO2FB is... has asked for volunteers, and I'm one of them, and Charlie and 3CRT is another. And we're going to have a few different radio stations set up. If it follows past years, there'll be HF, there'll be some packet, there'll be some digital modes, PSK31, etc., as well as some satellite demos. And Charlie and 3CRT is going to be there. He's going to bring his Arrow antenna and radio, and I'm going to be there with laptop and power supply and other stuff. And we're going to do some demos during the morning of low Earth orbiting amateur radio satellites. So if anybody wants to see what that's all about, come on down. It's in Hawthorne, New Jersey, Hawthorne High School. You can find the address on the web. And so that's the next exciting thing. And then shortly thereafter, there's another satellite that's being launched, I think, on the 16th, if I remember right. It's a Delphi satellite, but it'll have... linear transponder on it, 435 up and 2 meters down. So that's a satellite launch that's imminent. And these things take a while to get onto the top of a rocket and blast it into space. So it's always exciting when they happen. Looking forward to that. Back to Nick.
Okay. So a couple of things. So courtesy of KO2FB and yourself and N3CRT at the Hawthorne High School starting 8 a.m. Saturday. I have some ham radio stations set up, and in particular you and Charlie are going to play the satellite games with some LEOs. So that's pretty cool. And then regarding the Delphi bird, who's launching that puppy? That's not a Kuglu launch, is it?
Give me a minute to Google that. I'll be back.
Okay, no problem. But yeah, I was kind of curious. Is that from Kourou? Is that from Vandenberg? I don't think it's from Canaveral. It doesn't sound like it to me anyway. Alrighty. It'd be great to have yet another low Earth orbit 435 to 145 satellite up. That's always a good thing. Linear transponders are fun. You two can work single sideband and CW and things like that. That's very fun. So, anybody have any questions, comments, confusions regarding this event this weekend or any other satellite-related issues, please call K2BAR.
N3CRT checking in.
So noted. So are you excited about what you're bringing this weekend and what you're going to do with company?
Well, at kid night this week, I brought my stuff and we set up out in the parking lot and we made a couple contacts, and I did the same tonight after work with my friend there, Terry, W3MPS, and we worked AO16. He made his first contact on AO16, and I worked that bird, I worked AO51, and I worked AO7, and so we I was just trying to perfect my my abilities to work portable using a compass, a clock, a piece of paper that tells me where to point, and my radio, and all, doing all the rest by hand. So the linear transponders are still a little tricky by hand, and if Steve is bringing his laptop with SAPPC32, I have a rig talk that we can hook up to my radio to be able to control things so we can focus on showing people and not worrying about tuning the radio so much. So we'll be looking forward to that. Hopefully the weather will behave and we'll have fun. N3CRT.
I'm just laughing. You worked on AO7, is that correct?
I heard myself, but I was having trouble tuning. AO7 is quite a busy satellite. I know it was launched in 1974. It quit for, I think, 10 years or something like that, maybe more. And now it's back. It works in the sun. And it's got its finicky moments, and you got to be careful with your power and be nice to other people on the transponder. But it works, and I've used it from time to time. It's a lot of fun. It's a little higher than the other one, so you can make further contacts with it. And even AO16, I made my first contact to California on AO16. I was trying on AO51 with my friend out there, KF6KYI, but couldn't get him. He was portable and I was from home, and we just couldn't work each other. It was crazy busy on those Central United States passes. But yeah, AO7 still's working. And now that they've reconfigured AO16, that one's a real nice one to work to. So it's a lot of fun.
I was just chuckling because I realized that the satellite's older than you are, Charlie.
Yes, it is.
I find that amusing. That's okay. It's a wonderful thing. You know, one thing I like about you, Charlie, is that at 30, you're still a curmudgeon. You have a lot to be proud of. You're going to be a piece of work by the time you're 15, and we're really proud of you. We just want you to know that, okay?
Yeah, I'm continually working on it.
Do that. Alrighty, very good. I hope Katie heard that. Alrighty, and on that note, I'm wondering if Steve Speck, WITW from K2BAR.
Yeah, K2BAR, WITW. Delphi C3 is launching from India, and it is a Dutch satellite, as far as I can tell. So we're very, very anxious about that upcoming event. And Charlie, if you like, I can also bring my GS2000, which is tested and works with the computer control as a backup. So we'll be able to use that as well. Will that work for you?
Yep, go ahead and bring it, and we'll chat a little bit, too, after the net. N3CRT.
WITW, thanks.
Okay, one real quick question for either one of you. I'll start to Charlie because he mentioned it. What was the nature of the AO-16 reconfiguration? What did they put it to? And, well, why did perhaps did they have to do that?
Okay, it used to be a pack set, a digital data store and forward satellite with like a, I believe it had like a bulletin board, and you could drop a message on it and someone around the other side of the globe could pick it up. But what happened is, I guess the main computer failed, and they were having trouble loading software back onto the thing, and they were trying and they were trying, and they were contemplating blocking out pieces of the memory and then making a program that would fit in the open spaces. And someone remembered, hey, there's a command, you know, one of these low-level commands that they build into this thing that I can connect this to this. And what happened is it's an FM receiver, but it's a double sideband transmitter. So you actually talk up on FM, and you listen on upper sideband, because they say the upper sideband half of the double sideband signal is actually a little better. And you can tune it, and you tune it in, and you just kind of ride on the edge of the, if you're manually tuning, you don't have to touch the transmitter. It's like 145, 920, and you tune the, I think the downlink is around 437.026, somewhere around there, and you got to hunt around for the carrier, because it's just like an AM signal. It's got a suppressed carrier, but not too suppressed, and you just dial it till you can kind of hear the edge of the carrier, and you should be right there on the right side of it, and it works great. So it's a new life. I know it's going to go back into some eclipses soon, so I will hope that it's just as simple if it comes back out, that they just need to reprogram it, just easily connect this to that rather than having to reload a whole bunch of software. N3CRT.
K2GCL repeater.
So let me just beg the question here. If someone had like a 10-watt transmitter on 2 meters and a 3-element or 4-element handheld beam, would that be enough to get in? And what would you need in the way of an antenna to hear it, assuming you had a suitable 435 single sideband receiver?
I use the Arrow antenna. I didn't play with, I haven't really, today was really the first time I worked AO-16 portable, so I didn't play with like how much I could stray away from the satellite with the antenna. With like AO-7, you don't even have to be pointing at it. You can just hold your Arrow antenna straight up in the sky, and you can hear the downlink. Now, to get in on the uplink, you have to kind of point at it, but I didn't play with AO-16. It is rather loud in terms of you know, a satellite. It's easy to hear, and you know, maybe 4 or 5 elements on 440. You can probably get into it with a vertical whip. Now, it does tumble, so there is a fast fade period on the downlink. So it's I didn't really notice it working at portable, but when I work it from home with my fixed elevation beams, I do notice it. So it's just something to consider. It doesn't take too much of an antenna, more than, you know, 3 elements on 2 meters and 5 or 7 elements on 440, like the Arrow antenna is. And you can build your own. Steve has the link for that guy, WA5JVB or something like that. The cheap Yagis, you can build the thing for cheap. I bought it, you know, whatever. But it's pretty simple. It's a really simple one to work, and we'll hopefully be able to give demos on it this Saturday.
Sounds wonderful.
Okay.
Well, anybody else want to add anything? Your questions for either Charlie or Steve on the satellite? Okay, well, next week, gentlemen, we're going to want some feedback on what happened. Tell us about this whole experience. It sounds great. And I should have realized the Delphi's launch was from India. I should know better. I feel like a total chump asking that question. But anyway, I'm glad I begged it so that people don't feel like chumps when they find out. But that sounds like an exciting launch as well for a new 435 to 145 bird. That's a Mode A bird, if I remember right. Anyway, so let's see. That's a Mode B bird. No, I'm going to screw myself up. I'm going to shut up now. I just think in terms of frequency, it's easier. Alrighty. Any other questions, comments, confusions for the net? Then I want to go to Jim.
Yeah, quick comment.
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, it traditionally that's a Mode B bird. Nowadays the terminology has switched to referring to it by band. So it's a UV bird, U band up, which is 435, and V band down, which is 145, and it's a linear transponder. And we're very excited about the launch of Delphi C3. So stay tuned. Last week of the month.
And then probably another couple of weeks to get it on station, square it away, check it out before they turn it loose.
Question for Steve.
Go ahead, Jim.
I realized that I had not given you that piece of Teflon wire that you had asked about, a couple of weeks ago. Are you still interested?
I'm always interested to have a look-see. Tony gave me some RG-174U to satisfy that particular project, so I'm not in need of it. I'm a little concerned that it might be hard to work with because because of what it is. So, but unfortunately, I'm not going to be at the next bunch of kid nights for about a month till lacrosse season is over for my boy. But the good news is I'm getting to watch him play, and that's a whole lot of fun. Had a game tonight. Back to net, K2BAR.
If his game runs late, you can bring an HT and give us play-by-play, okay?
It's too fast. I couldn't do that. My tongue would get wrapped around my eye teeth, and I wouldn't be able to see what I was saying.
Oh, the way you get around that is if you've watched soccer, when the Scots or the Brits do play-by-play, it's totally different than if, like, the Colombians or Brazilians do play-by-play. You know what I'm saying?
I wouldn't, because I'm not a sports fan at all, except for watching my boy.
Yeah, I can understand that, believe me. Although, let's go Devils. Anyway, I can't say what the Rangers do. It's not arable. Alrighty, moving right along. Any other questions, comments for the net? Okay, K2ZO, you were bandying about tonight with a couple of old radios, a TM-261, and I think something else as well, but you also had some audio gizmachi that you were using to manipulate the audio. And I was just kind of curious as to why you would do that for an FM mobile rig, other than just to produce that fine quality audio. So it's if you would mind describing your gizmachi and what it can do and what you've done with it and why. K2NO, K2BAR.
Okay, K2BAR. This is K2ZO. Well, first of all, yeah, I dug this old radio out, but I didn't have a microphone for it. RJ45 type microphone, which I had here attached to my a cable attached to my EQ Plus by W2IHY. So I put the studio audio in here. Let's see, can I make a few changes and let's see what you think?
You have total control of the net at this time.
Alrighty, I have an effects processor on here,
And let's see, I'm going to turn it off. Do you notice any difference when I turn the effects processor off? How's the audio sound? A little flatter?
I'm going to defer to other stations to give you a reaction.
KC2ORS to K2VAR. Jim, you're fine.
Okay, I don't even know if you can even hear the effect that I'm doing here. Let me see. I'll bring up some. Now you're going to hear some strange effect here. How about this?
It's still fine, Jim. I'm mobile, north on Maple Avenue. Richard, you're fine.
You sound louder.
Just louder. It doesn't make that much difference. It'll make a big difference on HF, but it certainly doesn't make that much difference here. Okay, so I'll stop fooling with it. Well, I can do this. I can bring the bass up. How about this? Do I sound like I'm booming now?
Yes. Oh, actually, but there is a definite echo in your signal, which wasn't there until you made a few transmissions.
Yeah, that's part of the effects processor. I turned it way up. Okay, I'll bring it back down in just a few milliseconds delay. What I'm doing is I'm taking my audio, and then I'm delaying it, and then I'm mixing it back again, like they do in a broadcast station. So it has a big effect on HF. Not much here.
It has an effect on the input. You sound, I could hear it on the input.
Sure you could, Charlie.
Well, I think the problem is this repeater kind of flattens things out a bit.
As it should do.
So the question is your goal to be on 146.52 like K2OWR and WQIWIK used to do?
Nah, I don't think so. But yeah, it probably sounds pretty cool. So I've got another broadcast mic. I got a very expensive broadcast mic here. We can play around with that later. But right now I'm using the Elvis mic, the Shure 55, the old classic, and this one's about 45 years old.
A Shure 455?
A Shure 55. You know, the Elvis mic, have you ever seen that one where Elvis is on the stamp talking into it?
No, the last I heard that.
Elvis who? You guys are too young.
Well, of course. Sorry, I think I know what you're... It's a flat microphone with... But it's got like two facets on each side.
K2GCL repeater.
Now, you'd recognize this microphone. It's used extensively by the old-time rock and roll crowd and that type stuff. It's a great big thing, a big fisty type stainless steel thing with slots on it.
Are these the microphones you rebuilt, Jim?
Yeah, I've done a number of them now.
You brought one to one of the meetings, Friday meetings once. Yeah, I'm very proud of the new cloth grill you put on it.
Yeah, I've done the red for the Gene Vincent crowd and the blue for the Elvis crowd. And I sent some pictures to Shure, and they refer people to me, but it just got too expensive to do. I mean, it was just so much work that I kind of stopped doing it.
You know what that means, Jim? You weren't charging enough.
I was charging plenty at these rock and roll groups, but the microphones they sent me back were all bloody, and they looked like somebody had used them as a weapon.
My kind of microphones. Jim, the first HD200 I ever worked on was from Hackensack Police. There was skin and hair follicles jammed into the cracks. The battery bottom of it was completely missing. The person that they hit with it was still in a hospital, unconscious.
Yep, that's right. The police used to use those Motorolas as weapons. All right, let's go back to that K2ZO.
Pleasant departure. I was and I couldn't find my HT, so I grabbed another one and ran down the stairs to go find my HT. So so I'm on right now. I'll get back on the real radio in a moment. That was interesting, Jim. To the radio. I'll tell a quick story and then we'll move on.
Along the same line, that's what you were describing. While I was waiting for my ham license, I had a 23-channel CB handy talkie with a metal frame, and it had a telescoping whip, which I had broken, and therefore I got one of those, you know, aftermarket rubber duckies for 11 meters. And I remember taking that handy talkie, whipping it out, and leveling two guys with the damn thing, beat them over the head, knocked one out cold, and then ran for my life in Manhattan and was rescued by two cops from the 19th Precinct. It was very interesting. I spent the evening driving around Upper Manhattan, where every bicycle in Upper Manhattan wasn't moving because they each had a cop attached to them for about an hour. It was amazing how New York City, when they want to find somebody on the street, if they're going to be on the street. I mean, they were pulling people off the road, women, old blue-haired ladies, didn't matter. It was amazing because I was looking for four punks, we were looking for three punks, actually, who had run away on bicycles. The other one was scraped up by the cops. Anyway, it was rather fascinating. But any of those metal-framed radios, whether it was a Motorola or, in this case, a CB handy-talkie, it was bigger than an HT220, but it was built with the same, you know, the same general type of construction from an external viewpoint. Hard Lexan front and back, a battery pack in the back, and a metal frame down the middle and top. So it was pretty nasty. Anyway, enough of that. Thank you for that audio effect demonstration. That was kind of neat. So anybody else have questions, comments, confusions for that, please call KTBAR.
Gordon, I have a question for you. Why did they call the HT200 Briggs?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I had a PT200. No, I had a P23, actually. I had that too, but I had a P23 first, or P33. Both, actually, I think about it. So why?
Because they were the exact size, shape, and weight of a red brick.
Well, that would do. That would do. Actually, the closest thing to a brick that I own today is a Radius P200 UHF, complete with a speaker mic.
Have a HT200 in mint condition. I've been going to flea markets for 20 years and buying case parts for it. I finally have a complete HT200 in perfect condition, unblemished by hair or scalp, anything.
That's pretty cool. The only, if you recall, back in, let's say, 70, probably 78, summer of 78, I bought an HT200, and that's because I couldn't afford an HT220. It was two frequencies. It was 5.2 and 7.9. So, and I lived in Little Falls, so it was like torture to get in. I had to stand, you know, on my tippy toes and not move and stuff like that in order to get in. So it was kind of obnoxious, but that's okay. We had a good time with that radio. I remember it well. But that's the only 200 I ever owned. Alrighty. Any other questions, comments, confusions for that, please call KTBAR. Okay. Upcoming events, anything for this month? Let's see. This past Monday was the 2-meter sprint, and I did make some contacts. I'm proud to say I made about 20 contacts. Somewhere is my log. Let's see, 10, I made 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 contacts. I made 20 contacts altogether in 8 grid, and I was only active for 25 minutes. Well, yeah, 25 minutes, including the 1 minute in the next hour. And that was it. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I wish I'd spent more time doing it. This Tuesday, next week, is the 222 sprint, which also allows you to operate 223.5 if you have an FM rig. And it's from 7 to 11 p.m. The following week is the 432 sprint on Wednesday night. Again, 7 to 11. That'll be a week, that'll be 2 weeks from yesterday. And then I'll find out when the 6 meter sprint is, and if there's a microwave sprint, I think that's also in that mix somewhere down the road. So keep that in mind. Next week is 222. The following week, and that's Tuesday, and the following week after that on Wednesday is the 432 sprint. You can operate 446, by the way, as well. If you have an FM rig, your contacts will be appreciated. It's a fun way to just break some, break some ice. And I hadn't heard 2 meters that busy even during a VHF contest in a very long time. So it was a lot of fun to listen. In the case, if anybody else operate the sprint, I'm kind of curious. This is K2BAR.
WP3FN.
WP3FN. Hey, Jose, K2BAR.
Good night, W2CTT. Good night, everybody. Just making myself present on the next WP3FN.
Okay, very good. Just a quick housekeeping note. You're really bringing 3 dozen bagels and peanut butter and jelly, or jam, as the case may be, strawberry jam?
Yes, sir. I will do so. And just a quick comment. I am seeking for a 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 foot parabolic antenna. So if anyone is trying to get rid of one of them, let me know.
I have a 6 foot or 8 foot, or they're yours if you would like.
Oh, you're the man. All right, I'll talk to you over the weekend about that. Okay, so I will stay in the background listening. This is WP3SN.
I can even help you illuminate it. Anyway, just out of curiosity, what band would you like to operate with those dishes?
Well, I actually, after a lot of research and a lot of reading, found a way to make the feeders for 440 and 2 meter for a parabolic antenna. So I might try it on that. If it doesn't work, I will go somewhere lower, maybe 23 centimeters, 13 centimeters with it.
K2KCL repeater.
There's certainly better ways to get gain on those bands, but that certainly would be a lot of fun. I've done it, and it worked really well, so that's fine. All right, we'll talk more over the weekend. We're going to have plenty of time to talk about it, God only knows. Just an FYI, guys, Jose is a parent in our scout troop, so, and we have a trip this weekend, so hence the conversation. By the way, Jose, don't forget to charge up your handy-talkie and bring it with you. On that note, I'll see you tomorrow night. Anybody else with comments, questions, confusions, please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, KC2ORX.
Yes, sir, KC2ORX. Robert, go ahead.
Any information on my query before?
Yeah, let me go get it for you, no problem. I had a little breakness at the beginning of the net, not a problem. We'll get to you in a moment with that. I'll have to look at the Skywarn website. Anyway, anybody else with questions, comments, confusions while I look up this information, please call K2BAR. Guys, you're supposed to help me out here. Perfect. Alrighty, let's see, I'm looking for Skywarn training classes. There we go. Click here for the latest information and dates. Okay, there are, there's actually one in Wayne. They haven't set the date in Bergen County yet, which I have heard tentatively is going to be in Ramsey. But I see May 5th in Wayne and May 20th in Fairfield and April 23rd, which is my brother's birthday, by the way. Cornwall, New York.
All right, we're Gordon. The only reason why I'm asking, Mendelson had a notice to meeting Sunday night that it was April 20th in Bergenfield.
Is it now in Bergenfield? Okay. Well, I told there was a lot of debate going about that, and man, I hadn't gotten a confirmation. April 20th is a Sunday. I can't see that happening unless it's at the high school. I have not heard. I can check.